Savannah, Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales, Carter, Slade's, Carter's, Abel's, Carter's, Newburgh, Carter's, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plain, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy air, hey.
This edition of Tell Joy Where to Go is for the birds and birders. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Friday, May 9th. I'm headed to the Horicon Marsh Bird Festival and points in between tomorrow to see some of the birds who are migrating back to Wisconsin this spring. And I'm hoping to set up some new bird feeders this weekend to attract the orioles, the hummingbirds, and other birds who are now arriving in Wisconsin. And I am excited to learn more about how to attract and see and protect our feathered friends with our guest expert and with you this hour. What birds are you seeing these days, and where do you go to watch for birds? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Georgie Steele. She is a wildlife biologist and planner with the Department of Natural Resources and the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. Good morning.
It's good to be here, Joy.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. This is really the month for birds and birders, isn't it, in Wisconsin, May?
It is the month we live for.
What birds are coming back right now?
Well, we've had a really favorable south winds and warmer temperatures in, say, the past week, and that has really brought in large numbers of migrating birds. We had, in the first week of May, maybe towards the last part of April, things were trickling in. Now things are starting to gush in. So we've had much more widespread reports of orioles, grosbeaks, hummingbirds, indigo buntings, scarlet tanagers, lots of great catbirds hitting people's neighborhoods now, including mine. Our neighborhood catbird is back. Thrushes, lots and lots of warblers are back, and people are seeing a lot more of them in much greater numbers, much greater variety. Just lots of other land birds that are out there.
Wow, I like that gushing in.
And that's gushing.
What I started seeing on social media, just photo after photo after photo of these beautiful, colorful birds. And I can't wait to actually, I should have been set up, but I was not, to attract them to my backyard. Orioles are, they just want me to put out some oranges, right? Or
you
grape
can
jelly.
Do yep. You can do orange halves, or you can do jelly. Either seems to work well, and people have been reporting it, around the state a lot of birds that are coming. And I think if you're in maybe like the central or the northern part of the state, or not quite in the south like where we are, there just isn't a lot of natural food available yet, and so the birds are really coming to people's feeders and hitting the jelly and the oranges, and they'll even take grapefruit. I read that yesterday. If you run out of oranges, you can try grapefruit. But yeah, it's been a pretty spectacular show for some people.
It's just beautiful, yeah. And the hummingbirds are back too?
Hummingbirds are back. They're starting to show up more and more places. More people are reporting them. So, the same thing. There may not be a lot of natural nectar available for them. And actually, our ruby-throated hummingbird, people may find this hard to believe, but actually catches quite a lot of insects. And there's probably, not as much of that as there's going to be. So hummingbird feeders are a great thing to do, to put out right now to attract them and give them a little boost while, the insect population and the natural nectar sources get going.
Well, that's what I'm going to try to do this weekend. And as I mentioned, also going to the Horicon Marsh Bird Festival. That's something that my sister would like to do. She's an even more of a birder than I am. But so is that, what do we see at Horicon Marsh?
Horicon is a really, really well-known wetland. It's a large property. It's actually partly owned by the state, partly owned by the Fish and Wildlife Service as a national wildlife refuge. So you're talking about very extensive areas of wetlands. So the draw there is really water birds, waterfowl, shorebirds. And, you know, they do have some upland habitat, so they're going to have some other birds as well. And that's a great thing about May is that even if the birds don't stick around there, they're moving through. So you have the opportunity to see things that probably aren't going to hang out at Horicon, but they're moving through right now, so you could still get lots of great warblers and other things just moving through that area, mm-hmm. as well as the stuff that's more that's going to breed there, that's going to stay there. So,
you know, it was about, I think it was last week, that friends reported, I did not see, that loons were back on the Madison Lakes. Do those loons, they don't stay here, or do they stay here?
No, in fact, I think they're pretty much gone.
Oh, they just made a stopover, huh?
At the, you know, maybe a couple of weeks ago, there were still some loons that I would see driving in. I'd come in on John Nolan, and I'd be looking over to see what loons I could see. Those birds, I think, are all gone. They do try to get up on their territories pretty much the second that they can. So they start moving north as soon as ice cover starts to recede on lakes and rivers, and they just work their way up, and they make these scouting flights to their territorial lakes, and pretty much as soon as there's any open water, they're plopping down in there. So they really do move with the ice cover, which I think at this point, except in the far north, lakes are really starting to open up. So people up there who are maybe used to having breeding loons can probably expect to be seeing them now.
What birds, so what we're seeing here, many of the birds are just flying through, or are there going to be a number that are going to nest and hang out here?
For sure. Mm-hmm. We have a very, you know, robust diversity of birds that nest in southern Wisconsin, and we have some of those same species, many of those same species, but some species that will only breed in northern Wisconsin. But a lot of those same individuals will keep going, and they'll go to northern Minnesota and into Canada. And that's an enormous production ground for a lot of the birds that we're familiar with and that come through in the spring. But we do have lots of birds that are going to stay to breed, and they'll be around all summer. So they'll be with us.
You know, I was on the hunt for the snowy owl this winter, and I regret to say I did not see my snowy owl, even though others saw, you know, dozens of them.
Yeah.
But in any case, is there a rare visitor that people are all a Twitter about right now?
Well, there have been actually a number of rarities. We've had one that I can mention is a very first state record that we've ever had for a gargany, which is a duck. And it's been hanging out at Crex Meadows in far northwest Wisconsin. And this is a species that's pretty commonly nesting in Europe and Asia, and then it winters in sort of, you know, southern Asia and Africa. And it sometimes shows up in the Pribilofs and the Aleutians, so off of Alaska. It's very rare. It's far rarer inland. And so this is the first record that we've ever had that's been documented, and yeah, birders have been...
Oh my goodness, so really flew off course a little bit, huh?
Right, right. This is the time of year where you literally never know what you're going to see. So there's one, there's a Say's Phoebe that's also been up there, and this is a, you know, a North American species that breeds in the western United States. We've had a chestnut-colored longspur again at Crex Meadows. That's a, you know, a sort of colorful little, you know, sparrow that, again, breeds in the western United States. We had a few other rare, you know, kind of rare species, maybe not completely unexpected. The gargany is really, like, out of...
Yeah, no one expected somebody who's normally in Europe
right,
to be here.
Right,
yeah.
That's a really real rarity. There's northern mockingbird that has shown up in the Ashland area. And mockingbirds are very common in the southern United States. I mean, just south of us, there are gobs of them. And a few of them always show up in Wisconsin, but I don't think they ever make it as far north as Ashland. So that's kind of a big deal. Piping plovers have shown up in far, you know, southeast Wisconsin in the Milwaukee area. That's a kind of a rare bird that doesn't nest very much in Wisconsin anymore. So there definitely are rarities. You know, migration is a dangerous proposition for birds. They get blown off course. Some of them are young, they're inexperienced, so you can expect strange things to show up.
We're talking about who's showing up during this spring bird migration, and we're welcoming your questions, we're welcoming your observations, your sightings. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Georgie Steele, a wildlife biologist and planner with the Wisconsin DNR and the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We're talking about robins and many other birds on this edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. How about Tell Joy Where to Bird? Where are you headed to see your favorite feathered friends? What are you seeing in your backyard these days? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. We're talking about birding with our guest from the DNR and the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative, Georgie Steele. And Georgie, last time you were on, you were also on with the DNR's Ryan Brady, and we were he's up in Ashland. He couldn't join us today because he's doing a special field trip. Tell us about these field trips.
Well, I think Ryan is out chasing spruce grouse today, which is a northern specialty. It's one of those rare birds. You have to know where to find them. Ryan does, but he is leading this trip as part of the Great Wisconsin Birdathon, which is the flagship fundraising vehicle for the Bird Protection Fund. This is a fund that collects money for priority bird conservation projects in Wisconsin. Run through the Natural Resources Foundation, which is a nonprofit organization that does many wonderful things like this for our natural resources here in the state. And so the Birdathon is going on throughout the entire month of May, and it has several different components. The Natural Resources Foundation has a regular series of really, really wonderful field trips that they lead, nature-based trips all over the state. And as part of those field trips, there is a series of trips that are called sort of birding blitz trips or special trips for the Birdathon, where participants, they pay a fee and they get to go to some really spectacular and special places with expert birders that lead them to some of these, you know, rare resources and give them all the interpretation. And that's what Ryan's doing, I think, today. And so there are a series of these trips, and in fact, there's one that I want to highlight that's actually still has some spots. This is a trip that's happening tomorrow between 6 a.m. and 2 p.m. You can go out with expert birders and ecologists Mark Martin and Sue Foot Martin, and they are going to be visiting Goose Pond and the Southern Columbia County Wetlands, which are two great, you know, birding hotspot areas for waterfowl and shorebirds and plenty of other wetland birds and other migrants. So that's a great opportunity. So you pay a fee of $87, and $75 of that goes straight to the Bird Protection Fund. So it's a great way to visit really wonderful birding locations, get expert birders to go with you, and to donate money to a really fantastic cause. As I mentioned, the Great Wisconsin Birdathon is going on right now. It'll be going on the entire month of May. This is the third year that this event has happened, and our goal this year is to raise $75,000 and see 252 bird species so we can beat last year's totals. Right. We've got 29,000 raised so far, and we have 64 birding teams that are participating, which includes 155 birders, and you can learn all about it at wisconsinbirdathon.org.
Yeah, and we'll put a link for sure to the Wisconsin Birdathon and the Natural Resources Foundation for more information on the field trips on our website or on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page as well. So Goose Pond in Columbia County, that one still has some
Goose spots. Pond and Southern Columbia County. I think Goose Pond might actually still be in Dane County. I'm not quite sure about
that.
They're very close together, those two areas. So
well, that sounds great. And we'll talk more about the Birdathon and where this bird protection fund money goes, what sort of bird conservation projects are going on. But we do have some callers, so let's go to Chuck in Cedarburg first. Hi, Chuck.
Morning. I have a phoebe that's nesting on my building that I live in, and very friendly, nice bird. Also, I've heard a towhee. I think that's T-O-W-H-E-E or E-E. I've saw an oriole. I've heard a Carolina wren. I've got a grosbeak that's coming to one of my feeders.
Wow.
I'm wondering also, you'd mentioned that the thing at the Horicon Marsh, I don't know if you could tell me where in the Horicon Marsh is a big place and what time it's going to be. Is that tomorrow you're saying, I think?
Oh, yeah. Thanks, Chuck, for the... I don't have all the details right at my fingertips, but I did post a link on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's my understanding that this is going on Saturday and Sunday, and there's a list of different events going on at the Horicon Marsh. Do you happen to know off the top of your head, Georgie, about some of the activities that are taking place there?
I actually think that it's starting today.
Yeah, you're right.
I have May 9 through 12, so it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday. It's going to be a series of events that will probably be happening all over the marsh, but I think the place to find out the details is to go to the Horicon Marsh Bird Club website.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if you just Google Horicon Marsh Bird Club, because they're the ones that are really hosting this festival and putting it on. So I'm not exactly sure where the central places that people are gathering, but...
Yeah, and I remember it from past years, and there was where their main visitor center is. There was a lot of information and activities, but there were other sites that you could, you know, have a tour or take a walk or something like that. Paddle boats, or not pontoon boats. Take a pontoon boat out and see the marsh and whatever birds might be available. So, yeah, and I printed it off, but I just don't have it at my fingertips. Thanks for asking, Chuck. There is more information online. Let's go next to Sally in Middleton. Hi, Sally.
Hi, thanks so much. To start out with, I don't have any of the new things you're saying about printing. I don't have computers. I'm 82. I just missed this whole thing. So adjust your advice. I love birds. I like to watch them. I've lived in this house for 30 years. For the first time in 30 years, I have my yard full of, not full, I'll say a half a dozen big black birds. How do I get rid of them?
Why do you want to get rid of them, Sally?
Because they're keeping all the, they're very aggressive, and they seem to be keeping other birds. I don't see any other birds in my yard.
Oh, okay, so she's afraid they're scaring the other birds away. Any ideas what to do if you have, I don't know, a problem with birds?
Well, if you're still there, Sally, can you tell me whether they are crows or are they a smaller bird?
No, they're not crows. They're not that big.
Okay.
But they're big and they're very aggressive. I mean, they kind of strut around. They've just taken over the yard, and I always have things out for the birds to eat, and a bird bath. They like the water as much. They drink out of the bird bath all the time. I've lived here 30 years, so I know what's normal. And for the first time this time, I've got a yard full of, not full, I'll say half a dozen, but big, big black birds. How do I get rid of them?
My best guess for what you've got is grackles, and they can be kind of noisy and pushy, and you know I've had situations where they sort of flock to feeders and other birds can't come, and honestly what I do is I just go and scare them away. I'm not sure what else you could do, except maybe offer different kinds of seeds that maybe other birds would like better, such as sunflower seed, which maybe grackles won't eat as readily. But they, you know, they are, as you say, they're pretty aggressive, and they, you know, will eat a wide variety of things. So I'm not sure what to tell you. I'm not sure why they've shown up this year and never before, but it could be that once the breeding season gets going, they will move on. So you could try patience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Sally. Oh, boy. And I'm sorry, again, that I don't have the Horicon Marsh Birding Festival is going on today and tomorrow and Sunday, and there are a wide variety of events, and it's hard for me to describe every one of them and where they are for you. But maybe your library, or you can call the Horicon Marsh. That could be, too.
Probably, yeah. Yep.
Your library has a computer, too, if you need to look online. We have Sheila in Prairie du Sac who called in to say they saw 50 to 100 pelicans already this season. Wow. Pelicans.
Yeah. I was just in Sauk City earlier this week myself and was seeing pelicans flying up and down the river. So that's a bird that used to be kind of rare in Wisconsin and isn't anymore. They're nesting in a number of different places in fairly large numbers, including Horicon. And they're just showing up more and more places. So it's mm-hmm. they're a very spectacular bird to see.
We are talking about birds in Wisconsin, birding in Wisconsin, with Georgie Steele, wildlife biologist and planner with the Wisconsin DNR and the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. We're going to check news and Wisconsin life, and then we'll be back. This is the Ideas Network. We'll continue this edition of Tell Joy Where to Bird in just a couple of minutes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. First, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Each spring, ramps inspire the breathless praise and devotion of foodies and foragers. Writer Brett Laidlaw explains the appeal of this wild edible.
There's been an amazing surge of interest in foraging in the last few years, an avid new focus on very old foods. If this movement had a poster child, it would probably be the ramp. If you are hip to that scene, I don't have to tell you that by ramp, I don't mean the way we get on and off the freeway in our cars, but rather a native plant often called a wild leek. The ascendance of the ramp from backcountry subsistence food to a starring role on gourmet menus is truly remarkable. As one of the earliest edible plants to emerge in the spring, ramps have been celebrated in seasonal festivals for decades. They're most commonly associated with the Appalachian region, but they're found throughout the eastern and central U.S. The most often remarked upon feature of ramps is their aroma, to put it nicely. The leaves produce a powerful garlic onion smell. One nickname is the King of Stink, and the scent has been described as like fried green onions with a dash of funky feet. How a food with such a homely appeal became prized by gourmets is a bit of a mystery. Around 15 years ago, I started seeing mention of this exciting new ingredient in restaurant reviews. Then they showed up in the stores where a small bunch cost around $5. When I literally stumbled upon them while hiking beside a trout stream one May day, I was brought up short by the pungent aroma drifting up from the leaves crushed by my wading boots. Looking around me then, I saw that I stood in a sea of ramps, the dark green spear-shaped leaves dotted here and there with bluebells or yellow marsh marigolds. With the free source at my disposal, I began to experiment and found that ramps are as versatile as they are assertive. At their base, there's a gently swelling white bulb which can be used just as an onion or leek. They can be chopped and sautéed, left whole to grill or braise. They make a nice pickle, too. The leaves can be chopped at the end of cooking or made into a distinctive pesto. In certain parts of the country, the ramps' popularity has worked against them. Seemingly inexhaustible patches have been nearly wiped out. Ramps grow in clumps that can take a decade to reach mature size, and careless harvesting destroys their ability to reproduce. With our wintry spring, ramps are late to appear this year. But eventually, the sun will warm the chill forest floor, and I'll pick a bluebird day to make my way to my secret patch. I'll come home with a sack of ramps redolent of springtime renewal, and I'll use them in just about every meal until they're done for the season. By mid-June, the leaves yellow and then wither. The other wildflowers overtake them, and where once there was a vast plain of ramps, now you'd never know they grew there at all. It's that ephemeral quality that makes me treasure them, spring after spring.
Brett Laidlaw is the author of the book Trout Caviar and the blog of the same name. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. You can find more Wisconsin Life on Wisconsin Public Television. The new series airs Mondays at 8 p.m. For more information, visit our website at wisconsinlife.org and find us on Facebook. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the hour each week when we celebrate life in Wisconsin, and today we are celebrating the birds returning to Wisconsin during spring migration. And we are talking with a guest expert from the DNR about what birds are on their way back and how we can find out more about birds and protect the birds. And we're welcoming your sightings and your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Georgie Steele is a wildlife biologist and planner with the Wisconsin DNR and the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. And I wanted to talk a little bit about International Bird Migratory Day, which is tomorrow. Are we celebrating in Wisconsin for that?
Yeah, definitely. International Migratory Bird Day is a day that is always, I think, the second Saturday in May that, you know, all across our hemisphere, basically, it's a day that's meant to raise awareness of the fact that we have this incredible sort of natural spectacle of birds that are leaving wintering grounds and moving through up into the breeding grounds, that we have this shared resource among countries, and just to raise awareness of that, appreciation and concern for their well-being and their conservation. As I mentioned, migration is risky business. Evolutionarily speaking, it's worth it enough for birds to undertake that journey because of the benefits that they get. But of course, humans are big game changers when it comes to evolution. So we've caused some obstacles to really make migration much more hazardous than it ever has been. And, you know, when you're thinking about managing a resource or a group of species like this, and you have to consider that they don't spend all their time in your country, they go to some other country, some other state. So it really takes a lot of coordination to ensure that these birds are going to be around for us to enjoy and to love and to you know, perform all the stuff that they do out there ecologically. So that's what International Migratory Bird Day is sort of meant to do, to celebrate birds, celebrate spring, celebrate migration, and raise that awareness. And so as part of that, there are many, many events that go on all across the hemisphere on this day. And here in Wisconsin, we have lots and lots of events that are happening this weekend. They're happening tomorrow as a part of International Migratory Bird Day. You can find out all about those at birdcitywisconsin.org. Bird City is our flagship recognition program for communities all over the state that are working to make things better for birds in their communities. And one of the things that they're required to do as part of being a bird city is to celebrate International Migratory Bird Day. So lots of different cities and towns and counties are having events to mark this day. And here, right here in Madison Bird City is having a celebration at Olin Turville Park tomorrow. So that's one thing to check out if you're in the Madison area, but there are lots of other events around the state. You can find out at birdcitywisconsin.org.
Boy, there's just a plethora of things going on. My goodness, it's going to be hard to decide what to do. What are the threats to our, I guess, our songbirds, but our birds in general?
Many and varied, Joy.
Boy, there's probably a plethora of threats, too.
There are a plethora of threats. So,
How about the efforts that are underway to protect our birds or to help conserve our birds? What are those?
Well, one of the major threats is simply loss of habitat.
Mm-hmm.
So the Bird Protection Fund raises money for, I think it's 8 priority bird projects here in Wisconsin that are meant to protect and manage habitat for species of conservation concern. So this includes programs like the Important Bird Areas, which are sites around the state that protect critical habitats for birds. This is a program that I've been involved in pretty heavily. Other projects include the bird monitoring efforts that Ryan Brady heads up for the state, the protection of the federally endangered Kirtland's warbler, which is now nesting in Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Stopover Initiative, which tries to protect and manage sites that are good for stopover in the basin of the Great Lakes. So for us, that would be Superior and Michigan, and other projects like this that are trying to manage endangered species or rare species, monitor birds, put together conservation plans for groups of birds of concern, raise awareness, and do education. So it's these kinds of projects that are trying to address some of these threats that birds face. You can imagine that they face those threats both on the breeding grounds during passage, so when they're migrating from one place to another, both in the fall and the spring, and then even on the wintering grounds. These birds, they can winter in, you know, a number of different countries: Mexico, the Caribbean, Central and South America. So lots of things that go on there that can put them at threat. So it's a pretty complicated picture, but we do what we can appear on the breeding grounds, and we also try to cooperate with other states and other countries to help them on the wintering grounds and during migration as well.
Here's an email from Marcia. I'm thrilled at the numbers of birds that are clustering at my feeders, flocks of orioles feeding at my grape jelly feeder all day long. Counted at one time, 6 rose-breasted grosbeaks coming in at several feeders and a couple of the bird bass with drippers, 2 on my deck rail. Goldfinches, blue jays, cardinals, house finches, and indigo bunting, and purple finches. My gosh! I mean, what a rainbow of color from all of these birds. And what a delight! I have to admit, I'm not somebody. I enjoy birds, but I haven't quite set up my backyard to attract them. I'm going to really try this year to do that. And I do like to go out every once in a while. But what is it, do you think, Georgie, that has so many people in Wisconsin just enamored by birds?
Well, I guess I can speak for myself. Wisconsin is just a great place for birds. It's got so much variety and diversity. We've got a lot of great habitat out there. We've protected a lot of land in public land and through private efforts. So we have a good base for birds. We have an incredible mix of species, both, you know, the southern prairies, the eastern forests, and the northern forests. So we get all this diversity of birds. That's pretty unique. And so I think that's part of it. For myself, there's just nothing like going out to a place like the UW Arboretum, which I did yesterday, and I literally did not know where to put my eyeballs. I saw 18 species of warblers. Just walking through the Big Spring area and lots of other birds. And it's that sort of spectacle. I mean, we fast all winter, and then this month comes along and all of these birds like magic just appear in the woods. I mean, the woods were just alive with song. I didn't even have to see the birds. I could hear them. I think it's just a magical experience for people. And just as Marcia says, and she must have a really wonderful setup in her feeder. She's doing a great job, obviously, to draw in those birds. But birds of almost any other sort of wildlife group of animals are very accessible to people. I mean, you can put up a feeder, and if you do a halfway decent job, you can get 5, 6, 7 different species of super colorful birds that are coming right to your house, and all you have to do is look out your window. And that's like magic. There's almost nothing else that you can say that is that visible, that accessible to people. So I think all of that makes people just fall in love with birds, want to see more of them, want to try to help them, and so it's
beautiful.
It is.
We are talking about the birds that are returning to Wisconsin this May during the spring bird migration, and we are talking about the various species of birds that are here. We're welcoming your questions. We are welcoming your sightings, talking about other ways we can help the birds, and welcoming your input at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine with Georgie Steele, who is with the Wisconsin DNR and the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative. This is the Ideas Network.
I've been to Allen's Grove, Emerald Grove, Cedar Grove, Union Grove, Soldiers Grove, Hales Corners, Slade's Corners, Abel's Corners, Newbrook Corners, Pipersville, Pittsville, Deansville, Reeseville, Janesville, Platteville, Orphanville, Footville, Blanchville, Plainville, Plainfield, Nutterville, Butternut.
I've been over there, hey, smell that dairy air. Hey.
This is a birding edition of Tell Joy Where to Go. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio, 8 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Friday, May 9th. As I mentioned earlier, I am headed to the Horicon Marsh Bird Festival and other spots tomorrow to see some of the birds migrating back to Wisconsin this spring. And I'm also hoping to set up my bird feeders. And I think I'd like to get a bird bath. That would be something I'd like to add. I want to set that up this summer, too. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions about birds of Wisconsin. What are you seeing in your backyard, or where might you go to learn more about birds? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Reinhold in Brookfield is with us. Hi, Reinhold.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I mentioned that I am under the attack with a female cardinal. I love cardinals. Both are here usually, but now for 4 weeks, a female cardinal is hitting my window. When I'm in my office on the west side of the house, it's hitting this window. And when I'm on the east side in my living room, it's coming around and hit this window. That goes on now for 4 weeks from 6 o'clock in the morning on.
Oh, my goodness. Now, and you're positive it's a female?
Yes, absolutely.
No, isn't that interesting? Because I heard of male cardinals or male birds that are territorial, wanting to, they see their reflection.
Right.
And what do you think might be happening here? Have you ever heard of anything like this, Georgia?
I have not heard of females, although, you know, I suppose you can say that females are territorial as well. I mean, you do sometimes see, you know, cardinals flying around and getting into disputes with other cardinals, and sometimes that's the female. So it may be that she is also seeing the reflection of what she thinks is another bird in her territory. I don't know if there is something that she sees through the window that maybe she's trying to get to.
Reinhold, apparently.
I guess. but in terms of trying to deter that, and I'm surprised she hasn't hurt herself doing that, although, you know, birds can be pretty persistent when they think there's a rival, is to put something, some sort of, you know, they have this reflective tape that people can put on their windows to deter collisions. Because that's a huge problem. Birds collide with windows and other structures all the time, and it causes a lot of mortality. So that is something you could try. I don't know if she's seeing like plants or something that she thinks she can get to. But gosh, you know, it's just trying to do something so that she isn't seeing her reflection or, you know, something to interrupt her field of vision through those windows. Mm-hmm. It's interesting behavior that I'm not sure I've encountered before.
Yeah. Well, Reinhold, thanks. Good luck. Hope you can deter her. We have Bruce in Partyville with us now. Hi, Bruce.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Your guest said referenced the migration in terms of magic. We have something goes on up in Park Lake and Partyville that actually is kind of magical, because you rarely see 16-20 loons together, or suddenly there's 40 merganser ducks or golden eyes or buffleheads. And this year something kind of interesting happened. I was talking to my neighbor and I was asking about the migration of the great white pelicans because I hadn't seen any. And as I was walking back to my house from his, I saw one. As I sat down to dinner, I saw four. As I went to bed, there were about a dozen. As I woke up, there were 60 of them.
Oh, my gosh.
And they hang around up there for, oh, a couple, 2-3 weeks. They're all gone now. But typically, right around the 1st of May, the number of waterfowl on Little Old Park Lake up in Partyville is absolutely amazing.
That's
and year-round, there's cedar waxwings and tanagers and bluebirds and eagles and osprey, egrets, green, blue, herons, the green and the blue and the egrets. It's just an amazing bird menagerie up there, and I love it every day.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Bruce. Boy, that's a lot of pelicans is what he said, right?
Yeah, yeah. They're like I said, they are definitely starting to show up. I've seen them flying over Marquette County. I think they like to hang out around the Lake Puckaway area, but they're just showing up more and more around the state, and people really notice them because they're a big white bird.
By the way, Jean in Jefferson called in to say that she, like our caller in our first half hour, also had a grackle problem. She left her feeders empty for a week, and the grackles moved on, and other birds came back. So that's
great advice.
Nancy in Appleton. Hello, Nancy.
Good to talk with you. I live on the Fox River in Appleton, Wisconsin. And I see a parade of birds. I've lived here for 10 years, and it's been wonderful. But this year, I have seen a bird that I have never seen before. And he's sitting on a wall that juts out into the river. And he is a huge bird. He has long legs. I assume he is a shore bird. And he's from the back, he is gray and has a long yellow beak, a long yellow beak. I mean, it's really long. And he grooms himself for as long as a half an hour in front of my eyes. I'm looking through binoculars. And when he fluffs up his chest, it's like Santa Claus's beard. And it flutters in the wind.
You're describing this wonderfully, Nancy. However, we have just a minute to go. Does anything come to mind, Georgia?
Well, as far as shorebirds, you know, could it be a yellowlegs? We have two species, lessers and greaters. But I mean, really, there are a number of things that it could be.
What's a good bird? I guess identification resource maybe for people.
Well, people can visit a website that's hosted by the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. It's called All About Birds. Mm-hmm. And if you just Google All About Birds, you'll get to this website and you can search all the species accounts. They have pictures, they have videos, they have recordings of bird sounds. It's a great resource.
Yeah. And in our 30 seconds, what should we do if we want to help birds in Wisconsin?
Learn more about birds. Join a bird club. Go on a birding field trip. Participate in the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. Just learn more about birds. Get out there and enjoy them. This is the month. Mm-hmm. So go to a bird festival. There are a number of them out there that are happening this weekend and later on into May.
Yeah, and so. I'm going to do that. Thank you so much for inspiring us and informing us. Georgie Steele, wildlife biologist and planner with the DNR and the Wisconsin Bird Conservation Initiative.